focus on, it's sort of adding to the first two presentations, is how do NGOs factor into this whole picture of health system strengthening? And I imagine that many of you in this room work for NGOs, and in fact I work for Health Alliance International, that is essentially an NGO, closely allied with the University of Washington, but still an NGO. So my critical remarks should be put in that context. And hopefully we can kind of reflect on what our role should be as people working in NGOs. Sort of to add to the picture that Rick painted of debt crisis, structural adjustment programs, constraints on state spending, one of the consequences of that has been, for a variety of reasons, rechanneling and redirecting lots of international aid money to non-governmental organizations. And any of you who have spent much time in an African capital city are, you know, familiar with the legions of SUVs that drive by with various logos, many of which you've never seen before, you're not sure where they came from. Very common experience. And just in case you don't believe me, the number of international NGOs, according to the World Bank, was reported to have increased from 6,000 in 1990 to 26,000 in 1999. That probably has a confidence interval of 10 or 15,000. Again, intended civil society involvement in World Bank operations has risen steadily over the past decade, over 21.5% of the total number of projects in fiscal 1990 to 72% in fiscal 2003. Civil society is often sort of a cover phrase for NGOs. So what we've seen is just a massive increase, and I would argue that this is a very important development in the way we think about strengthening health systems. There's sort of a new dynamic, I think, just in the last few years that any of you working especially in Africa have probably witnessed. There is a new real cascade of funding for health in Africa, which is really being driven mostly by AIDS treatment funding, but also by coming down the pike now is funding for malaria. PEPFAR, President's Emergency Program for AIDS Relief, is one of the biggest, or probably the biggest now. The Global Fund, Clinton Presidential Foundation, the World Bank Treatment Acceleration Program, there's a bunch of others, European Union, lots and lots of funding that's now coming into health sectors in Africa. But where does this money go? And most of you, we've seen from Donna's presentation, you know, we want to strengthen health systems, but where is much of this funding actually going? And in the Mozambique case, where we're seeing much of the PEPFAR funding, I'll give you some numbers later, going, PEPFAR again is the biggest player in many African countries. A huge chunk of it is going to NGOs. There's this notion of centers of excellence, which are usually treatment sites that are developed by foreign actors, and the money goes to them rather than local ministries of health. Universities, Columbia University, Vanderbilt University, HAI and University of Washington. I'm just putting some different players up there. But a huge, huge proportion of the PEPFAR funding going into Mozambique and other countries is not going to local health systems. Very important point to keep in mind. Some of this money goes for purchasing of drugs and commodities. This varies by country. Not a bad thing in and of itself, but often this is done through separate systems, not by strengthening the local system of drug and commodity purchasing. Some data gathering in M&E, but often parallel systems are developed. Very importantly, lots of funding going to high salaries for lots of foreigners, and I'm sure many of you in this room have seen this over and over and over again. Something we call phantom aid, funding that ends up actually going back to rich countries. Some building of new infrastructure, which is certainly good, and some technical assistance going to health systems, but a huge chunk of this funding is very clearly not going to health system strengthening. Much of it goes to NGOs, as I mentioned before, and usually these NGO programs are vertically organized. Sometimes they're organized around providing antiretroviral treatment, sometimes around what we call PMTCT, which is prevention of maternal-to-child transmission, sometimes for volunteer counseling and testing, but often done in a verticalized kind of siloed way. These are programs that don't necessarily link with other programs in a primary healthcare system. Often bringing parallel monitoring and evaluation and data gathering systems and norms and procedures which can vary within a country. So you get a very fragmented picture with a lot of different NGOs working. And I just want to make the argument here where the funding is actually needed is strengthening national health systems, especially if we're serious about getting AIDS treatment out to everyone who needs it. it's a longer argument to make here, but the public sector has got to be the place where it happens because it has a national scope, it has a national scale, and I would argue it has a comparative advantage over NGOs. Health workforce. I think this, hopefully everyone in this room recognizes this. We need many, many, many more health workers. That is the single biggest crisis. We need bricks and mortar infrastructure. Management capacity is one of the biggest problems that we have. Logistics, M&E, IT systems, linkages to communities, and operations research. Yet this is the kind of stuff that is exactly not getting funded by much of the new aid that's coming into to Africa for AIDS treatment. So is there a positive role for NGOs? And I want to provide just a very brief case study. Health Alliance International, we're trying to do the right thing. We struggle with it. Many other NGOs in Mozambique are trying to do the right thing. I want to just present some data from what we've been trying to do. Providing technical and material support to national, provincial, and district levels for the integration of antiretroviral treatment into primary health care, moving away from the vertical programming and figuring out how do you integrate it into pre-existing primary health care systems. Training and capacity building for management, monitoring, evaluation, clinical care. Very importantly, fostering linkages between communities and the health system. Helping promote operations research, and then very importantly, advocacy, both at the local national level and at a global level. These are what we would argue are very positive roles for NGOs, but not to substitute for a national health system. Okay, just very quickly, our work in Mozambique. Mozambique is in Southeast Africa. We work in two provinces in the center with capital cities of Beira and Chimoio. These two sites, Sofala province is this province here. Mozambique is organized along provinces. This is Manica province. Those two provinces are really the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic in Mozambique. Very, very high prevalence rates. The city of Beira is approaching 40% prevalence among the adult population, so very, very severe epidemic in one of the poorest countries in the world. Okay. So I just wanted to contrast what's been happening with many of the NGO vertical programs is essentially a district-level project-by-project approach versus what we're trying to do, which is a system-strengthening approach. And this just presents a few data. When you look at Mozambique on the map, you have provinces are the main ways in which the Ministry of Health organizes delivery of health services through the provincial level. Each province is divided into 10 to 12 districts. And what we've been finding is there's a pattern of NGO support, which NGOs will choose a specific health facility or a specific district and build a center of excellence or a model place of care in one district, in one facility, and then they don't sort of link up with the rest of the provincial system. Very, very common pattern in many parts of Africa. And what we have here, these labels got a little bit shifted down, but the two bottom lines are a local NGO, which is working in the same area where we are trying to strengthen the Ministry of Health. They've set up their own individual clinics, this blue line and this purple line. And you can see what they're able to do is get people onto antiretroviral treatment fairly quickly, but then they level off and it becomes kind of a plateau. And we see that most of these districts and facility-focused antiretroviral treatment sites are able to get people on quickly because they bring in foreign doctors, they bring in lots of resources, but then they hit a plateau because they're not connected to the wider system and they can't expand out of their facility or out of their district. Whereas you see the light blue and the yellow line are sites where we've been trying to work at a provincial level to get people on treatment through an integrated primary health care approach. And the numbers that we can get onto treatment over time just starts to expand. And those numbers, those are actually relatively older data. Those, that blue line, that yellow line continue to go up essentially that same slope. Just very quickly, this just shows the treatment expansion from 2003 in these two provinces. This is central Mozambique here, the two major provinces. You can see back in 2003, 94 people on heart in one, what was used to be called a day hospital in the city of Beira. By 2004, a second treatment center, again, very verticalized in this early stages, just two treatment clinic centers, but we're up to about 600 people. By 2005, began to expand a bit more, 2,500 people on treatment. then began the process of really health system strengthening by integrating antiretroviral treatment into the primary healthcare system, not doing vertical separate clinics, by integrating it into the system, training non-doctors to be able to get people onto treatment in more peripheral health centers. So by 2006, we're up to over 5,000 people on treatment in more peripheral sites. By 2007, we can see even more sites are being added, and we're up to nearly 14,000 actually by the end of 2007. Here's the 2007 sites. These are all pre-existing health facilities, units in the primary healthcare system, which by strengthening the health system, not doing a separate NGO vertical project, you can reach thousands and thousands of more people. This just shows a few more for 2008. And just give you some figures of where we are now. At the end of 2007, there are now 48 sites which are providing antiretroviral treatment in these two provinces over 3 years. 28 sites now where we're actually doing pediatric HIV care. About 20% of those who need antiretroviral treatment are now getting it. And it looks like if we can continue with the current trajectory that we'll hit about 68% of those who actually need treatment now will be able to get onto treatment by the end of 2009. And we think that this is a model that if you're strengthening at that provincial level, you're strengthening the actual primary healthcare system, integrating the treatment into the system, you can reach literally tens of thousands of people more than if you have a project by project, district by district, NGO vertical approach. Now, as they say in business school, this should be a no-brainer. I think many of you in many of the countries where you've had lots of experience, you would say, of course, this is sort of obvious. Why aren't we strengthening health systems? Well, what are the constraints? And I think Rick really presented one of the most important ones. The caps on what they call the public sector wage bill. You know, the inability to be able to hire the workers you need. The donors come into Mozambique and they say, well, you know, we really need to show our funders that we can get, you know, 2,000 people on treatment fast. We can't do it through the health system because they don't have enough health workers, so we'll do it through an NGO. We'll find a university, an NGO, somebody else to fund. We'll go off to a district and get 2,000 people on treatment. When in fact what we need to do is hire tens of thousands of more health workers. Funding channeled through NGOs who don't support the national health system, that's one of the constraints I just mentioned. Very few aid funds are going to very basic institutions, let alone the health system. We need to fund more medical schools, more nurse training institutes, that kind of basic funding for basic training to build local capacity. It just isn't happening. Even with all the money that's flowing into Africa now, how little of it is going to build basic institutions is quite startling. I think we're going to continue to see increases in social inequality as much of this funding goes into capital cities and never leaves capital cities, high-priced consultants. That kind of thing. Very important, huge constraint on our ability to bring all of this out is some of the different issue here, but related is lack of food and public sector safety nets is a huge constraint in our ability to make antiretroviral treatment work. Just wanted to give you a couple numbers. 2008 PEPFAR spending slated for Mozambique. The last numbers we have is only 11%, it's over $100 million, this is a lot of money, only 11% is actually going to go to the Ministry of Health. About 36% will go to basket funding, which is jointly controlled by donors and the Ministry of Health. Not a bad thing, but it still takes some of the control away from the local authorities. And fully 47% of that money is going to go to NGOs. When you have that amount of money going to NGOs, NGOs hire people out of the public sector system, they create fragmentation in the system, we're very worried about the kind of imbalances that's going to create. Very quickly, our field director happens to be in the audience today, Pablo Montoya, right in front. We had an interesting conversation with him two weeks ago in which we have been offered, our organization has been offered more PEPFAR funding, and don't get me wrong, PEPFAR funding is very, very important. It's a huge amount of resources that are going into Africa. But we're thinking, boy, how do we arrange our program so that we can spend all of this funding well? And Pablo says, well, that's funny, you know, we're talking about how do we spend all this money, and I just got back from a meeting at the local provincial health director, and they had the lights off because they can't pay their energy bill, you know. So we're facing kind of crazy contradictions where the Ministry of Health can't turn its lights on, yet NGOs are struggling to figure out how to spend all the money that they're getting. So I'd like to say that that is kind of where we are now. This is going to take a huge push in understanding what are the larger structural constraints that are preventing us from getting that funding into health systems is really something that we should all be working very hard on. And hopefully we can get the lights turned back on in the Ministry of Health in Mozambique. Thanks very much.